Today is about shortcuts to success. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Reckless Training Podcast. TC is already laughing at me to make this super comfortable discussion. So TC, why don't you start?
Sure. Your list of shortcuts to success. Number one, there are no shortcuts to success as an athlete, unfortunately.
Just gave away the secret to everyone listening.
Yeah. So the reason we're wanting to do this podcast is because more and more we're seeing, especially in social media, a lot of all you have to do is X, Y, and Z. A lot of fake people touting, you know, telling other people how to become successful themselves when these people haven't even attained the success that they're trying to coach others on. And that's not to say that you have to be an IFBB pro in order to coach bodybuilders. That's not. But you have to know what
even working. That sometimes is a big misrepresentation. Title doesn't mean you're educated.
Yeah, you just really have to know what goes into it, and you have to be willing to be honest with people about what goes into it. Unfortunately, that's not what sells. What sells is easiness. What sells is a magic pill. What sells is shortcuts, right? So that's what everyone out there is trying to give you so that they can make a quick buck. And when you get fed up and you realize you're not making any progress, you're then told that it's because other people are taking drugs. And that's why they're being successful, and that's why they're seeing progress, and that's why you're not. So that's just one small example, obviously. But we see so much of this that we kind of wanted to dive deep into the difficult difficult decisions that athletes have to make on a regular basis in order to become successful. And that's not necessarily just successful as a pro level bodybuilder, right? We're not just saying successful as winning your pro card. We're not just saying successful as winning a show. We're saying successful as continuing to make progress as a human being in your life, on your life journey. The last thing that we want to see here at Reckless Training is people stagnant and wasting their time in the gym. And because quality of movement is not often coached because it's freaking hard, people do not get the return on their workout investment that they should be getting. So unfortunately, like I just said, it's hard. You have to be mentally aware of your movement when you're in that gym, and you have to be thinking about it the entire time. You can't be taking time off. Your brain can't really afford to be in other places for, you know, the vast majority of your workout sessions. Obviously, you're going to have every once in a while where you're a little stressed about something, you got to think about it, but you have to be present. You have to be intentional. You have to work with high intensity. And you have to learn what maximum effort is, which I think is another issue that isn't really touched on, because it doesn't sell to tell people that they don't know what working hard is. And it's hard. It's something that's hard to coach if you don't innately want to do it. You know, if you don't innately want to go into the gym and push as hard as you can and push your body to the limit, it's hard to coach someone into doing that. We do have certain implements that we use to help people learn what maximum effort actually and truly looks like in the gym. But still, it's definitely based on the athlete's desire to succeed and to push hard, right?
Yes. Such a good job. Yeah, I think that... So maybe we can talk about some of the things that people assume are what gets them to a goal. And
sure, constantly having a new training program. Every day you're going to the gym, you're doing something different. Muscle confusion, right? Which,
yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, to a certain extent, you know, there are times where you have to change up, right? Like we take hip thrust out of your program every once in a while for a month or two at a time to kind of deload that movement pattern for you. But generally speaking, training is doing the same thing over and over again and consistently trying to get better at it. That's all training is. When you're training for something specific, there's a difference between training and working out. And a lot of people think that working out is training, and that they're two different things. Working out is just going to the gym, getting movement. You can do a different workout literally every single day of your life, and that's working out. But when we're training for something specific, it's in that description, right? We definitely need that exercise specificity towards our goal, right? And it has to, everything that we're doing has to be able to mentally be brought back to that goal so that we know exactly why we're doing this and how it's bringing us closer to our goals.
Yeah. And I think you said it correctly. I think that is a different thing of embodying being an athlete, because that time spent in the gym is where you're investing to get a payoff later on, whether it's on the platform as a
powerlifter.
Yeah. Or seeing an improvement in your physique. And I think that it is a learned skill. I think there's definitely a big gap with online coaching, where people are getting training programs, but the execution of the training program is really essential. And so knowing how to train for intensity, understanding why your program is set up the way that it is, the trajectory that it's going, what your focus is on, like setting PRs, like just having things to achieve and work for and accomplish, I think does produce much better results than just going in there and doing something similar mm-hmm. over and over again. And maybe every 12 weeks you get a different workout, but it still should be somewhat in alignment with what you have been doing so that there is continued progression. So I think just the execution of the workout and then the intelligence behind the programming, mm-hmm. I think are really helpful in making advancements, especially with how slow muscle growth is, especially the more advanced you are as a lifter, like that slows down a bunch. So like having specificity there too, I think is important.
I think the athlete education is an aspect that's often missed too. Prep coaches, generally speaking, focus on the diet, nutrition, and the cardio, right? They give you a program and that's it. And then they might give you a new program for like peak week. They'll give you a new program afterwards. They'll give you a new program every 12 weeks, but then they just give you the program and you go into the gym and execute it, right? But there's no intentionality behind like your accessory. Okay, so you're doing this accessory and like, yes, these cable kickbacks are meant to grow your glutes. But if we don't have the focus on keeping your torso stable and making sure that your pelvis is anchored, you're wasting a lot of time there, and you might only be getting 25% return on that and on that workout investment. Whereas if you completely stabilize your pelvis and you know you think about your positioning in the squat or deadlift, for example, and you make sure that your torso is nice and stacked, you're super braced, your lats are activated, your abs are activated, your pelvis is stabilized, and now your glute has something concrete to pull against. And all of that work is being isolated to that glute muscle instead of your lumbar erectors, your QL muscle. So the increasing your intentionality in the gym can only improve your results. Now, there's definitely going to come a point of over executing on like form details, but that's where knowing when to push the intensity comes into play, right? So on our compound lifts, we want to make sure like that's where we really have a chance to push the weight. We stay braced. We practice all of these other bracing sequences that we're practicing with our lighter isolation lifts. We can put into play with our compound lifts. We stay nice and braced in our compound lift because we've been practicing it, and now we get to push our weight and we find our PRs. And then you go to your accessory lifts, and you're thinking about solidifying that positioning so that you can continue getting stronger, continue getting bigger, while thinking about all of your goals and keeping them on the table. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And learning how to auto-regulate as an athlete is another hard aspect too, because we're going to have other variables in our life that kind of dictate our performance in the gym that day. And if we are unthinking athletes and we just go into the gym and arbitrarily push as hard as we possibly physically can that day, chances are you're going to hurt yourself eventually.
Right.
That's what happened to me, right? I hit a squat triple PR and I wanted it again. And instead of deloading and working back up to it, I was impatient and I just kept trying and trying and trying. And eventually, you know, I wasn't even trying to do anything. I just did like a quarter squat and I came out of the hole. I didn't respect the weight. I said, you know what? I'm kind of tired. I'm going to call it. And I just stood back up and I didn't respect the weight. I didn't brace and I felt a tweak in my back and that was it. So having this intentionality, having this long-term mentality, and knowing when to push in the gym are three very, very important aspects when it comes to being an athlete. And that marathon mentality helps, especially when it comes to like building muscle and building strength. Just knowing that like you need to be able to live to fight another day, is today the day. With Dr. Jason, we had a chiropractor in Northern Virginia. And which, by the way, he's still there. So if you're in Sterling, go check him out.
Yeah.
One day Dr. Jason said to me, you need to ask yourself, is today the day? And I hear him in my head literally every single time I'm working up to a top single. Is today the day? And now I stay in the pocket. I do my work. I do a top single that is super smooth and my form is exactly the way I want it to look. And if it's not, then I bring it back down and I work on all my working sets. But I understand that not every day is the day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things don't happen as fast as you want them to. You have to just continue working on the basics. It's not that you're missing some magic pill that everyone else is taking. Sometimes progress just happens a little slower than we want it to. And other times it's going to happen quickly. You need to be patient. You need to put yourself in a good position to reap the rewards of your hard work. So they say luck is a combination of opportunity and preparation. And if you're not constantly preparing, no amount of opportunity will ever get you that success that you're looking for. And each show that we step into, every powerlifting competition that we step into is an opportunity for us. But without that preparation, without that consistent preparation, you're not going to have any luck at success. So, yeah, I kind of feel like I'm talking in circles. Because there's not a whole lot to say. Being successful is hard. It just is. It's hard work. And so many people are looking for ways to make it easier. When, I mean, you know how I coach. I always say, make every exercise as hard as possible. If you're looking for ways to make your training easier, if you're looking for ways to make your prep easier, to a certain extent, okay, like you can try to set yourself up for some conveniences, like meal prep on a weekend.
Sure.
You don't have to intentionally make your life miserable. That's not what I'm saying.
Must cook every meal.
Yeah.
When you know, hungry.
From scratch. Yeah. Like, you know, five times a day. No, like that's not what I'm saying. But when we're in the gym, we can't be looking for ways to make our exercises easier. We can't be looking for ways to make our cardio easier. Like, that's just bringing you further away from your goal. And it's mentally, it's making you have to work more. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, so if you do a cardio session at, you know, at 3.5 versus 1.5 for that hour. Well, we see we're not making any progress with the 1.5. And when you're doing 1.5 and your coach now bumps it up to 2 hours instead of 1 hour. So you end up having to spend more time in the fucking trenches instead of just putting your head down, doing the hard work, making the uncomfortable, hard decisions, and understanding that it's time. It's consistency over time that brings athletes success.
Well, and I think that's the other thing too, is it's because I've done the consistency and I've put in the time, but I've also come out with no results. Mm-hmm. And so I think some people go into seasons thinking, okay, well, I'm designating 8 months to growth, so I will see growth, or I don't know, however you want to like.
Yeah, sure.
It.
Yeah.
But if we're not doing the things.
Yeah, if you're not being intentional, if you're just going through the motions, and if you like sometimes skip a workout, you don't get all your protein in, you're not doing any cardio, like you have to have a reasonable expectation of what you're going to get out of a growing season based on how you are executing that growing season. Growing season is just as integral as your peaking season. And people don't think about it that way because
I think it's
longer.
More so.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you win the show, right? Is in your growing season.
Well, I mean, it is body. If we're talking about bodybuilding, it mm-hmm. is bodybuilding.
Well, powerlifting too. I mean, like you have to get stronger.
Right. So those times where you're like continuing to put in the annoying effort day after day and trying really hard. And that's the stuff that pays off in the end. I think when we get closer to the finish line of a competition, or we're like shifting gears into like a dieting phase, or it can be exciting because we're like, okay, now we're going to like have a different focus. We're going to get more of a visual return on our efforts. So I think a lot of people initially sign up with bodybuilding because they want to diet and they want to look good. Mm-hmm. And they want to lose body fat. I feel like most Americans were just like finding different ways we can lose body fat. But then there comes that reality of like, what foundational muscle tissue do you have in creating the outline and the structure of the category you're competing in? Mm-hmm. And then from year to year, how are you improving on that? And that just kind of goes back into the time that you're spending building, which I feel like most people know, but I feel like the reality of how long it takes, I think people are unaware of, because everything is like quick return, super flashy stuff that's seen on social media by fitness professionals, mm-hmm. or athletes are not always, I feel like, unveiling the other aspects or the realities of like what is going into play to create those results. And they're just being touted as like more of a sales pitch, and so people are buying into that. And
because that's what it is at this point. You know, there are people who get really lean and do a bunch of photo shoots and then post all those pictures all year long. And then people are pulled into thinking that they're lean all year long. And that's, mm-hmm. that's reasonable. That's a reasonable expectation to have. There are people who take drugs and claim to be natural and, yeah. you know, and get pretty fast results. And then they get a bunch of clients because of it. And then the clients are left wondering why they're not making the same progress. Mm-hmm. There are people who have cosmetic surgeries and then go out and tell people how to work out, you know, and do this if you want to grow your glutes. Meanwhile, they got a BBL. But like, it's rampant with social media because, yeah. just like you said, everyone is interested in the instant gratification aspect.
And listen, if there were quick ways to make progress that were healthy, mm-hmm. I would be about it. Like,
no. Well, that's what we're saying. With the intentionality, this is the fastest way. That is your shortcut. Be more intentional in the gym. Make every single rep as hard as possible. And make sure that you're getting the most return on the time that you spend in the gym. That is the only shortcut that there is. And yeah, people don't want to hear that. Work harder. You know what I mean? No one wants to hear work harder as the shortcut. But that's what it is. And it sucks to say that because, like I said, it doesn't sell. You know, everyone wants to have do this program for bigger glutes. Everyone wants, like, do this program if you want to increase your deadlift. Like, yes, these things can work for specific populations, but at the end of the day, nothing's going to work like you working with a coach who knows what they're doing when it comes to hypertrophy work or an eye for movement or nutrition counseling, whatever aspect you're trying to make progress in. Find a coach who you get along with and work with them on a very, very regular basis. Continue to interact with them. Like, use that coach. We have some athletes that I never hear from, and it makes me feel bad because I know that we could be making more progress, but I understand that there's chapters in life for everything. But again, like we were talking about, that's something that people can fall into where, because they're not doing 100% in their prepping season, like when you're prepping, you kind of have to be 100% on bodybuilding.
Right.
And then as soon as they kind of shift their focus away from that, a lot of stuff goes to the wayside. Whereas like you need to continue being just as intentional. It's hard, right? It's hard. Building muscle is hard. Getting stronger is hard.
Right.
It's easy to a certain extent. And that's where you see a lot of people drop off. And then if you want to make that next step from beginner to intermediate and then from intermediate to advanced, you just, every step up is going to be exponentially more difficult. And that's why there are less and less people at each tier, you know? So
if you're struggling, welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly where you need to be at the level you need to be at, and you have to keep going.
Yeah.
I will say, I feel like, it pays to be a smart athlete. I think there's convenience as a coach when an athlete just does exactly what's prescribed. They do all the things. They check the boxes. They report back. I did all the things. And there is an aspect of following protocol that does help advance. But I think being a smart athlete, because I've seen that, I have one person in particular in mind that I'm thinking of right now who is like understanding, like trying to understand bodybuilding. She's continually asking questions as she's going through the process. She's asking about like, I'm experiencing this. Is this normal? I'm seeing this on social media. Is this correct? Like very, like more an inquisitive approach and challenging theories and ideas and doing her own investigative work. Mm-hmm. Now she does trust her coaches because we talk through like things that she may have questions on and we come to an understanding. And then that's why she has been successful. But I feel bad for a lot of athletes nowadays. I feel like the fitness industry is, I don't know. It's social media is the wild mm-hmm. west. You can put whatever you want out on a platform and it can be real or not real. And I think the fitness industry, especially on Instagram, is largely advertised there. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity for people to make money off of like miseducation. And I think that like I have been that athlete in the past who just listens to what I'm told. I do what I'm told. And that brought me some success. But over time, it was more detrimental to me. And when I started learning to question things, there was more intentionality in the things that I was choosing to do. There was more buy-in in what I was doing. And then I felt like I began to see success again. So yeah, just ask questions, be mm-hmm. smart, just because, and I, no matter how successful the person is, people can still be wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just, I would say, do yourself a favor and be smart.
Yeah. 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 Be your own person. Don't just be a sheep. I think that template programs can work for some people because they're pretty in tune with their body.
Yes. I would agree. I have seen success with people.
Yeah. I mean, I've used a template program when I first started training. I used a template program to get me into it. Mm-hmm. And it worked great because I had that curious approach. I think at a certain level, no matter who you are, it's always going to be helpful to have another set of eyes on you, especially if they have an experienced eye for movement. Because they're going to see things that you don't. And it, you know, it's the saying, two heads are better than one too, right? So,
yeah, recording my lifts has helped me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, okay. So, What I was trying to figure out how to say is like there are a lot of coaches out there who have some high level athletes, and then they advertise those high level athletes and they say you can get results like this too. They get a bunch of people to sign up because of that, and then they get a cookie cutter program and they never hear from their coach. And when they do, it's you say, oh, I'm not feeling great, and they say trust the process. So like this, we see this a lot. And it just like in order to make progress, human beings are so individual. They're so hyper individualized. And there are a lot of generalizations that can be made as a starting point. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of problem with a lot of scientific studies because of how many variables every single human being has within them at any given time, including stress levels, hydration and food, nutrition levels, yeah, not just calorie and macro levels, but like micronutrient levels on a daily basis. Electrolyte balance, like.
I also think mentality is a huge thing, and mm-hmm. you can't measure that in science.
Yeah,
what people perceive as challenging or difficult could be different from person to person, and so.
It goes back to saying that maximum effort is a learned trait. Like you have to learn how to push yourself to a maximum intensity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hormones are different.
Yeah, it's just,
you could go on and on.
It's very interesting how people take scientific studies and say this is the best way to do things. and they just make the blanket statement for an entire population. I read studies and I say, that looks like it might work. Let me try that. And then for some people it works and some people it doesn't.
Yeah.
But in order to be an actual good like coach or trainer or whatever, you have to have like constant communication with your athletes, and you have to be constantly modifying things and constantly progressing this mental intentionality. We don't need to focus on the same exact thing every single week on your squat. You know, when you're squatting, once you lock one cue in, we want to move on to the next one. And then eventually we want to erase all those cues and just think about getting tight, wide, and tall. You know, like, and so there's like different phases of cueing patterns for athletes. And if you don't have a coach who's trying to work on you with these things, it's going to be very difficult to make progress in the like movement improvement aspect. So
tight, wide, and tall. That's what I.
Those are just some things that
tight,
I think about.
Wide and tall.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to do that.
I brace and then I get wide through my shoulders across the barbell and I push both of my shoulders into the barbell and I think about doing a lat flare and I push again. And then I think about making down by my SI joint. I make that as wide as possible too to try to get both my glutes engaged. Then I make sure my abs are super engaged. My QLs are stretched out. So I'm not biasing my QLs. I'm actually using my lats and my core. And then I'm squatting. And sometimes that's all I'm thinking about. So my warm-up sets, generally speaking, I do some unilateral work for my warm-up sets. I do some core activation. I do some glute activation. But once I get to my top sets, I cut all the cues out and I try to make it as basic as possible. So, yeah.
Okay. What else do you have on this list? Okay, shortcuts. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So I think that just going through the motions in the gym, so we kind of like said that you'll get more return on your investment if you're being specific and you're utilizing your resources to, whether that's coaching or recording your sets or tracking your progress. I feel like all of those things have been really helpful for me to make sure that I am getting an efficient session in, leaving the gym, being like, okay, like, I know I did X, Y, and Z, and not all sessions are wonderful. That's the other thing too. It's like,
you're gonna be tired sometimes.
Sometimes it's just gonna suck, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that like, oh, you're failing or you're not advancing. It's, I think that's a normal part of competing and training. So we just take those when they come, and there's also things we can learn from there as well, and then we move on. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think having the PR focused mindset for the growing season really helps people continue to push because it gives them a goal to focus on.
Excuse yeah, me. Man, I'll tell you that 315 on that hip thruster machine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I worked so hard for that. I think I did that for six weeks, and that's after I did 315 on the rotisserie and worked at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept trying to make it more challenging. Well, I mean, you wrote the program. So I just kept trying to make that 315 for 20 reps challenging. I got it on a rotisserie. We moved on to that friggin' machine. Oh my gosh. And I remember like I'd have to pause. I got to like, I don't know, 12 reps and I had to just stop. Like, okay, I have like 8 more to go. Rest, 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 get a couple more reps, rest, 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 a couple more rests to get to 20. And then as I went through the programming, then I was getting to 15 easy and then resting. So now I only have 5 more reps I have to. And I did try very hard to make sure the quality of the reps were good too. They weren't just like ugly grinders to get to a 20 rep, because what is that really doing for my...
Yeah, it's always form over weight on the bar, always.
And I remember getting to 17 straight reps on that stupid thing. And then, oh man, then I remember 19. I was like, I can do one more. I did, and it was great. And I recorded it so that I could remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important to have something to continue to help push you. Like, you're not always going to be motivated every single time you go into the gym. Yes, discipline has to come into play, but it's also beneficial to have things that can help you with the motivation slash discipline aspect of getting to the gym and making sure that you're practicing progressive overload on a weekly basis. When you start to see the lines go away, you just feel like you're moving in reverse. You just did all that work to uncover everything. But it's much, much harder to put muscle on when you're super lean. It if you can do it, you know, certain populations, I would even say that it's probably not going to happen, especially naturally.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
You pretty much have, in my opinion, I feel like you have to have a genetic advantage. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
To hold on to your muscle or to even gain some muscle
yeah.
in a deficit, but it is so very rare.
Yeah. I think as guys, like, you know, being in the double digits for body fat percentage is healthy, you know, just over 10. I'm not saying be 30% body fat.
55%.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say like 10 to 16, maybe 10 to 16% body fat. Mm-hmm. And for girls, maybe like, I don't know, 13 to 20. Somewhere in there, maybe 13 to 24, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think I got up to like 23, 24, 25 at one point. I don't know what I am now, but I think it's person dependent too. Some people just hold a little bit more body fat. But yeah, it is challenging. It's challenging to, the other thing is like certain coaches say you should only gain
yeah.
a certain percentage of pounds back after your show or the 10 to 12, I hear the 10 to 12 pound increase.
Yeah. It's just so person dependent. It's like we were saying.
That looks different on someone who's like 6 foot versus someone who's 4 foot.
Yeah.
So,
there's no one size fits all.
And that's why I think individuality is more helpful. Mm-hmm. And
when you reversed out from your last show, he just reversed you until your body weight like
stopped.
Yeah, basically.
I just kept eating and then it was pretty settled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I don't have any hunger. my body weight is settled. And he's like, okay, perfect. That's where we want to be.
Yeah.
So it's going to be different for everyone. And if that only works if you had a good prep. Right. If you drove your body into the ground, you're probably going to overeat. Your body's going to be freaking out and it's not going to know where to settle afterwards. OK, so there is a caveat there. And that's
long the caveat dieting for reverse. Phases yeah. make for challenging reverses.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to spend more time in the I don't know if you have to spend more time in the reverse, but you'll have to spend more time in a growing season, getting your body to relax again so that it can be more receptive to another dieting phase. And some people don't like hearing that either, but like we're not a team who's just going to run you into the ground. We're not going to say, oh, you want to cut and your body's not responding. Okay, here, take these drugs and you'll lose body fat. You'll look great. Like, no, we're concerned with you as a person. My job is movement, optimization. And you know, Chris's job is like nutrition and lifestyle optimization, right? And we want to make sure that we have a good balance in our life. We want to make sure that we're,
and you're seeing progress,
like seeing
you're,
progress,
you're paying money, stress. You're mm-hmm. putting in the effort. So yeah.
Yeah. We want to make sure that your effort is well focused and well guided.
You should be progressing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you kind of touched on PEDs cause I think that's a obvious one people assume. But that's also a very rampant thing, not just in the industry, but in just our population right now. On that being a shortcut.
Yeah, the only time PEDs is a shortcut is when you're cheating, when you're using PEDs and competing in a natural federation, right? Because if you're competing in an untested federation and you're using PEDs, so is everyone else. So you still have to work. You still have to be the hardest worker in the room if you want to be successful. It doesn't matter. And that's why, like, I see so often people say, oh, people who take drugs, like, don't have to work as hard and this, that. There's a second half to that sentence that these people aren't saying. They don't have to work as hard to see the same exact results as a natural lifter. But when they don't say that, people will argue against it because fuck man, hey, but assisted lifters say, hey, yes, I'm using something, but I guarantee I work harder than you do. I guarantee it. Like,
well, I think the commonality is everyone has to work hard.
Yeah. I mean, look at Hottie, right?
Yeah.
Look at him. And think of, like, I think Chris Bumstead had a workout with him and he said that he was crazy. He's an animal. He just like, he's,
yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, these people work hard. If you want to be at the top, it doesn't matter if you're assisted or not. Like I said, it's only a shortcut if you're going to take Tren or take TRT or take diuretics and then go compete in a natural show. You know, it's... And there's difference between therapeutic TRT and, you know...
Sure, but no, I think that's a good point. I think that the when you have not utilized any PEDs, just like anything in life, if you have not experienced it or you have not been through something, you can apply that to anything. Mm-hmm. Divorce, loss of family, whatever. There is not the same understanding as someone who has gone through that or experienced that. So I think the idea is that someone takes PEDs, they can be more lazy in their approach to their training, they can get greater results, and it's a disadvantage to natural athletes. And I think that, I really just think that they're different. I don't think that there's like one better than the other. I just think that they're different. And that's why there should be like mm-hmm. natural and untested mm-hmm. federations, competitions, they should be separate because mm-hmm. and we see natural people go compete with tested.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done it.
And I think that's amazing. I applaud that. I also think people, they start getting interested in running some gear without the foundation of, like we just talked about, the intensity in the gym, the right approach to nutrition, like the foundational pieces have to be there first. Mm-hmm. And then you start looking at, okay, I have exhausted all options, like all of my options here. Here is my goal, is would this choice be appropriate for me to continue? Mm-hmm. And it really is to each their own.
But I think you're right. The low hanging fruit, the high priority items, the basics have to be in place first. I think anyone who's ever been to an LA Fitness has seen the misshapen roid head that goes there. And that happens when you don't know how your body's supposed to move. And yeah, you work hard, but you don't know what you're doing, and you're building the wrong muscles. That you're not building the muscles that you think you're building. And I've seen it a lot. And again, just like you said earlier, I kind of feel bad for them because no one taught them how to move properly. And now, yeah, they're a little bigger, but I'm sure it's not exactly the physique that they've been looking for. And then now we've created someone else who will say, well, since I don't have the genetics, it's impossible for me to look anything like that. Which, like, no, you're not going to look exactly like someone else, but...
Never. No one is going to ever look like...
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. You can't look at someone else and say, I want to look exactly like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't do that. But I can guarantee that we could make that body look better with more intentionality. So have all of your basics in place. Like, make sure that you know how you're supposed to be moving. Make sure that you know the purpose of every exercise in your program. And then make sure that you're, like you said, eating your macros, drinking your water, getting your 8 hours of sleep, making sure that you're doing your recovery work. Do your mobility work so that you can actually put your arms in the externally rotated position that you have to use to do a shoulder press. You know, like, people think that mobility is not important because they don't feel it directly bring them to their goals. But then they complain about having wrist or elbow pain when they're getting under the bar for a back squat. Well, you didn't do your shoulder mobility work. I don't know what to tell you.
There's something else I want to say. So I also don't want people to think that, like, oh, okay, well, if I like run gear, then I will put muscle on the same rate as, okay. So we definitely know that there is an advantage to utilizing some anabolic when it comes to seeing, I think, direct strength gains. Definitely muscle tissue. Like, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, there's some anabolics that help more so with strength and.
Yeah.
Some that are more geared towards just like increasing the visual muscle mass.
Yeah. So while we're saying like both people have to work hard, if we're looking at rate of muscle growth and or some situations of strength improvements, actually, I do feel like, yeah, there's gear that helps with strength improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost directly related. But anyhow, don't think that we're saying that there isn't an advantage. But it's just that we're trying to diffuse the idea that one just utilizes gear and does little effort. I think there is a little bit of advantage in recovery for some people as well.
Oh, definitely.
But there are other like ways to capitalize on recovery that are not PED related. And so you just, whatever path you choose, you just have to be cognizant of where you need to devote those efforts so that you are getting the best return. So,
if there are 100 things that you should be doing, to win the Olympia, let's say, you know, like look at Chris Bumstead. He definitely eats all of his food. He's perfect with his macros and his meal timing. He's perfect with his intentionality in the gym and his movement patterns. He's really good with stress mitigation. He's a very calm, relaxed person. He has all these ducks in a row. And then moving down the ladder, you start to see people who are missing one or two or three of these things. And then you keep moving down the ladder and we start to see people who aren't doing any of these things. They're actually going out drinking every night, but then they're using PEDs as kind of a Band-Aid to pick up the slack for that. So wherever you fall on this spectrum, that's okay. But you have to be honest with yourself about where you fall and what your expectations are in terms of progress. Like there's a study, and this is what people love to say about, you know, PEDs and how it makes it so that people don't have to work as hard. These subjects took 600 milligrams testosterone a week, and people who didn't work out gained more muscle mass. People who didn't work out who were taking 600 milligrams testosterone a week gained more muscle mass than people who did work out and were not taking testosterone. And just like any other study, how many variables can I name right now that are not discussed in this thing, including just the general testosterone of the average man and how it's decreased in the past like 5-6 decades. And bringing this testosterone back up to a baseline, you can think that it's just, you're just bringing these human beings back up to the baseline that they're supposed to be at. And at a certain point, that extra testosterone is not going to continue. They're not just going to keep gaining muscle indefinitely. It's not like you can just take 600 milligrams testosterone a week and then, you know, 5 years later, you look like Ronnie Coleman, right? That's not how it's going to work. But because studies are only 12 weeks long, people take these results and extrapolate them and use them as generalities, which is just false. It's misleading. But when you try to argue with people who have this preconceived notion, they say, are you saying that you don't grow muscle fat? No, I'm not saying you don't grow muscle faster. Of course you do. But like I said, at the beginning, it's only a shortcut if you're using PEDs and competing against people who are not using PEDs. Using PEDs and competing against people who are using PEDs, they know that they still have to have all the rest of their ducks in a row if they want to win, because everyone else does, right? They have their ducks in a row and they're using PEDs. So you're not going to reach that next level if you're not doing next level things. And then when you're on that level, you have to find out what next level things you have to start incorporating in your life to reach the next level, you know? And there's always another level. There's always more. So I think that that's another aspect that people don't understand, is like sometimes they feel like, I mean, I've cued people. Okay, push harder, squeeze harder. I am squeeze. Okay, I understand.
Stop quoting me on the podcast.
I wasn't even thinking of you. But it's true. And like I think of my training when I do this and I'm squeezing hard. Okay, but then I force myself, can you squeeze? I don't tell myself squeeze harder. I say, can you squeeze any harder? And I take that as a challenge because I'm stubborn. I'm an asshole. I'm a dick to myself. I'm a real dick to myself. So I sit there and I'm squeezing until I look up and I realize I'm out of position because I'm over prioritizing this one muscle. And then I regroup. I bring that activation back down slightly so that I can get back into a better position. And I start again. And these tedious things, like that entire process might last 2 to 3 minutes. And people think, well, I can't do that because I don't have time in my workout program. But doing that, spending those 2 to 3 minutes, and that's for both sides, spending those 2 to 3 minutes will absolutely make your squats and deadlifts feel better, because you're getting your glutes and your abdominals engaged properly. You're doing the ipsilateral activation, you're doing the contralateral activation, and you're making sure that your body is working together as a cohesive unit, because you need all of that stability in order to actually push your maximum effort.
Mm-hmm. So,
But you can't give me weird faces. It throws me off.
I just don't know what to piggyback off of that, because that was
just say, yeah,
an exercise.
Yeah, thing. Good talk.
Great.
Maximum effort. When, how? Reps versus weight.
Okay. So, where are we on time? Okay. What is the point of the shortcut with that?
I don't know. I was just talking, rambling. That's what I do. That's my job is ramble. And then your job is to put it together.
Oh, gosh.
And tie it up in a neat little package for all of our listeners.
We are so rusty. We need to do this more regularly.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. So the...
Basically, what it boils down to is...
I'm still thinking about PEDs.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Sure.
Go ahead. What it boils down to... is work as hard as TC does in the gym.
Bring the intentionality to each aspect of your... your work ethic has to match your aspirations.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then your aspirations are just dreams, which is what you do when you're in bed sleeping at night, not doing anything. Aspirations, you're out there working for them. These are my aspirations and my goals. This is what I will accomplish. And this is what I'm doing on a daily basis to bring me closer to that goal. And people who jump on PEDs as a shortcut, I think miss out on a lot of the journey aspect. And they're always going to fall short on the success aspect as well, right? There's the other saying that says you will always fall to your weakest system.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And a practice that I've used is like try to think about things that you do on a daily basis and is this bringing me closer to my goals or further away from them? And some things that you can't necessarily say are bringing you closer to your goals, you're not really ready to stop doing yet. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Pick your battles one thing at a time, brick by brick. That's it. You don't build the entire house in one single day. It's one piece at a time. So, and again, that's another aspect I think people don't understand too. So things take time. Building anything takes time. And the more careful and intentional you are with every single little detail, the better product you have at the end of the day.
And actually, I don't know if we talked about on this podcast, we talked about the scenario of like digging the hole before you're building the house. Have we talked about that already?
Not on this podcast.
Okay. Because that was another, this is another thing that kind of directly relates, when someone starts competing for the first time. Okay. I've been this person where I'm like, okay, I am a new, my first time competing, I didn't really have any expectations. I was like, wow, I just really hope I do well. And then after that, then I started wanting like, okay, now I want to win, or now I want to do this, or now I want to go to the Olympia. And I wanted, like, I set all these goals without understanding all the components that take to get there. So I set goals that were really far reach, which set me up for some pretty far...
Well, only because you were not provided with the proper expectations of what it will take to get there.
Right.
Right? Like, if you said, this is what I want to do. I want to make it to the Olympia. And I were your coach, I would have said, okay, judging on the muscle mass that you have, I want to take 2 years off and do nothing but grow. And you need to check in with me on a weekly basis. You need to send me at least one mobility video and one compound lift video from every single workout that you do every day. And you need to constantly be pushing progressive overload for your growing season. Then we're going to come back. We're going to try a peaking season. We're going to compete that third year, and then we're going to make the decision if we need to take one more year off to build enough muscle mass or if we're going to be able to do it in the next year. But
yeah,
building that long-term mentality approach would have saved you from a lot of that.
And also realize being in the pro league is a lot. It's an enormous amount of muscle, even in bikini. Yeah.
And there's no definites, right? There's no, like, you will win if you have this much muscle, right?
Right.
There's no...
Right, that's not even guarantee. A... Yeah. You're right, yeah. Yeah,
and you can't even just... Yeah, you can't just be the biggest on stage. You can't be the leanest on stage. Bikini is, like, it's a pretty tough class to nail.
Oh, man, it's so hard.
Mm-hmm. So while there is a muscle ceiling that...
Right.
That's you know, true. For bikini, like, it's one of the classes that you can't get too big. Or you can't look too big or else you lose.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I feel like that just makes it harder because it's just, you're chasing a look that the judges on that day decide what they want. And I've seen some shows that,
and it matters who you're standing next to.
Yeah.
Someone can make you look really small. Someone can make you look really big. Someone can
make you look super stringy. Someone can make you look soft.
Yeah. So there are a lot of factors for the bikini category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough.
But I think that that's an important part of setting the expectations,
yeah.
is like understanding that this is a part of my sport. It's not like I have worked the hardest, I have sacrificed the most, so I deserve to win. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You can put all your eggs in that basket and come out disappointed.
Yeah. Everyone thinks that. Everyone thinks they worked the hardest. Yes. Everyone thinks they sacrificed the most.
So it pays to be educated, to understand the sport, to understand the rate of, like, how your body changes, and be a student of the sport, I think, has been very helpful for me to enjoy prep more than, like, okay, like, I've won this show, I've won this pro card, so my next goal should naturally be to win a pro show and go to the Olympia. Like, that those are the top goals for a pro. So that's what I should be doing. And I think that that's still great, and I think there's a lot of pros that they accelerate and that. But also my experience is my own experience. My body is my own body. So I have to take those variables into consideration, not directly just compare it to what someone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just being honest about, like, the rate of progression, about what's showing up on stage, setting realistic expectations, which I feel like our girls have done a really good job this year. Just being honest about those things. And man, it just makes me really excited for next year, too. I just think that's important. That's an important aspect, because I think shortcuts can also be seen as, the more times I get on stage is the more, like, swings I'm taking at bat. So the higher rate that I'll be hitting a home run, and bodybuilding does not work that way. So sometimes we think showing up is more opportunities to win, when that's actually
could be pulling you further away.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily a shortcut, but it's not necessarily leading you in the proper direction.
Well, no. You're trying to get lucky. But just like we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, luck is opportunity and preparation. So if you're trying to get lucky by someone else not showing up, that's going to be a lot harder than getting lucky by having adequate preparation for that event. So there's also the flip side of that. Like, you know, if you're a pro bikini athlete who is seasoned, you're going to utilize some PEDs to mitigate muscle loss in a deficit. You can afford to go through a longer competition season,
mm-hmm.
because theoretically you have the muscle mass that you need. And now we're just kind of playing with peaking cycles. We're putting you up against different physiques and different bodies and different locations and different judging panels.
And
getting feedback.
And then at that point, you're also just managing, I think, fatigue
mm-hmm.
and body mm-hmm. response.
Yeah.
It's very tricky.
There's different stages and different levels of competition. And
yeah.
the amateur level, when you're just getting into competing, is one step. And then the national level, where you're trying to get your pro card, is another step. And then trying to get to the Olympia stage is another step. Ugh. And they're all exponentially harder. Right? Like, you can go to some amateur level shows, and like, there are some people who could step on stage and win the entire show without ever prepping, because they're just, you know, that much of a lack in competition. But you go to a national level NPC show, and that's not going to happen. You know, there's no gimmies there. And you go to a pro show, and all those girls look exactly the same. Okay. We talked to someone who got marked down because she pinched her shoulder blades too much. Okay. So There's like
a pro that cut.
Yeah, a pro. Yeah, pro. So like it becomes exponentially more difficult to become successful. So you have to have more and more control over all the details and all of the basics that it takes to be successful if you want to be successful at a higher level. So success at certain levels with a certain level of effort is completely reasonable, but you just, like we've said before, you have to be reasonable with your expectations in conjunction with the systems in your life that you have in place that are theoretically bringing you closer to those goals.
And just be patient.
There are no shortcuts.
It takes some time. And
enjoy the journey. And as cliche as it sounds, like, you should enjoy going to the gym. It's a reprieve for me. Mm-hmm. Even when I've had some depressing training sessions, really depressing, where nothing I could do could eliminate the pain I was experiencing. And I've been in a lot of pain these past few years. And you have to understand that, and you said it to me, you got to get the bad ones out of the way. You have to understand that there are just going to be some days where shit doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And you have to be gracious with yourself and understand that that's okay. What can I do? Well, my torso's not working. I'm going to go do some preacher curls because I'm going to try to take my torso out of the equation. Now, having said that, I think about bracing my abs and mm-hmm. my glutes, what I'm doing, preacher curls. But like, there's always something that we can do. And when I was the most depressed, I wasn't paying attention to my diet either. And it was detrimental for both of us. You know, I mm-hmm. ate like trash. Mm-hmm. I got up to like almost 240 pounds. And not healthy, by the way. It was not a good bulk. But there will always be a turning point. You know, if you're going through a rough season in your life, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Continue to try to make changes, right? Don't just keep banging your head against the wall. But again, just like anything else, there's no shortcut out of that too. Sometimes you just got to go through the shit to appreciate the good stuff. And sometimes you have to have some really, really bad workout sessions so that one day when you go to the gym and you're feeling good and everything's firing, you appreciate it more. You appreciate it so much when you go in the gym and you can just work. You can just try to hit a new rep or weight PR that I haven't hit one in so long. And it's an interesting perspective, I think, of people who have not really struggled in the sport looking for shortcuts versus the veterans of the sport who have gone through the hardship, who have experienced these pitfalls and have gotten back up, dusted themselves off and continued walking because they know that that's what it takes. That's all you can do is continue putting one foot in front of the other. That's it. That's the only option you have. Or stay sitting down, right? Like, that's the other option. Just stay where you are. That's fine. If that's as far as you want to proceed, that's okay too. You know, I'm not telling everyone that you have to keep marching forward. In life, you have to keep marching forward, right? Like, there are certain things that we can't just give up on, like our family and I guess sometimes your job. I don't know. Sometimes you can just say, screw this, I'm done. I've done that. So, but yeah, it in life, I think continuing to force yourself to make the hard decisions and to continue to request of yourself your best effort, I think is something that a lot of people fall short on too. They think that this effort is good enough. If it's not your best effort, then it's probably not going to be good enough. Just some rambling and of podcast thoughts on how being successful is difficult. It is just not easy. There are no shortcuts. And it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being an athlete is hard, but also like success in lots of things is challenging.
I think that the harder something is, the more gratifying the accomplishment is. And when something is easy, your sense of accomplishment is very small. You know, like getting out of bed every day, you don't feel this great sense of accomplishment. getting in a car and turning it on, you don't feel a great sense of accomplishment unless you just swap the motor in that car. And then getting in that car and turning it on is, it feels really good to get in that car and turn it on after you've just swapped them. Put all that work and effort in to swap in that motor. Getting on stage when you haven't worked very hard is minimally gratifying. Getting on stage after an exceptionally difficult prep where you did not allow yourself to give in to those temptations. Man, I'd really just like a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream right now. Man, I would really just like blah, blah. Man, I really want to skip my cardio. Man, I don't feel like being here at the gym right now, but you fucking did it anyway. And you gave your best effort every single time. You're going to be up on that stage and win or you're not going to care if you win at that point because you work so hard and just getting on stage and the accomplishment of making it to that point and looking as good as you look is accomplishment and a good feeling in itself. And I think that that's something that people miss out on too, because they're constantly trying to make their lives easier. They're missing out on this great sense of accomplishment that they could be having. I grew up doing stuff like that, right? Like working on cars and building, like, you know, doing house renovations and stuff. And after like building that office for John, afterwards, I look at those pictures still to this day. Sometimes I look at that wide frame picture that I took of the entire room and the sense of accomplishment that I feel like I did that. So many people miss out on that. So many people don't have that sense of accomplishment in their life because they're going to a 9-to-5 every single day working for someone else, and they don't have any personal aspirations that they get to feel that sense of accomplishment with. They're always looking for shortcuts to that endorphin rush, right? And the instant gratification of a blue screen or, you know, video games or fast food and sugar or, you know, caffeine. It's easier. And people get the endorphin rush and then they're left depressed afterwards and they don't understand why. It's because it wasn't difficult. You had a fake endorphin rush. And now your body knows it. Your body's not dumb. It knows it. So do the hard work. Make the hard choices. Push yourself. Don't allow yourself to be lazy. Enjoy that sense of accomplishment when the time comes. Being successful is hard. There are no shortcuts.
Thank you for that speech, TC.
I can always count on my girlfriend to make fun of me.
I'm so sarcastic today. This is not a good day. No, actually, I very much agree. And there are certain people I was thinking about specifically that have accomplished really big things this year amidst a lot of adversity. Mm-hmm. And people who still will be doing that this mm-hmm. year. So
everyone is fighting a battle that we might not know about, you know?
Yeah. So that's very true. So, yeah. So, there are no shortcuts. Sorry, guys. It's a lot of hard work. And I think if you are approached or offered a shortcut, I would challenge it. I think that's the best piece of advice is challenge the validity of that shortcut, how it works and how it also plays a role into the protocol that you're already executing. Like, is it the right time? So, yeah, be smart, protect yourself. It's a crazy world. And that's another reason why I think we try and do this podcast is just to put out some different information and just challenge like education in the sport. So okay, well, I think that's it. And I'm not going to go through all the outros. We can put that in the show notes, where to find us on Instagram. Please feel free to send us questions if there's things you want to hear about or there's stuff about the podcast that you heard today that you have specific questions on that you'd like clarification. We'd be happy to do that. And then we can include our website on the show notes as well so that you guys can click there if you'd like more information on any of the events that we run or our coaching packages, because we offer several different things, so you can kind of like shop around and see.
We also offer virtual technique sessions too. So we've been talking about developing your movement patterns for maximum efficiency in the gym, and I do movement assessments for obviously all of our athletes on a regular basis, but we've also had Plenty of athletes from other teams reach out to do in-person or virtual video consults with me, and we do mobility assessments. We implement some mobility exercise protocols, and then we retest it after a few weeks to see if anything's been, you know, resolved. So there are no shortcuts. We're here to help.
Okay. Do our. I guess that is our outro.
Work hard, stay humble, train reckless.